Welcome, everybody. My name is Ephraim Tumusiime. I come from Uganda, Africa. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you praise and honor for this time that you've given us to share from this experience that all of us as human beings find difficult. And indeed, you know us, you are our maker, and you know how hard many times every one of us feels when you lose your dear one. So Father, that I share my experience with your children, I pray, O God, that you will guide me and enable me to share that which you want them to understand. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was asked by, well, maybe we can know each other first. That's my wife. my wife, Joyce. You can introduce each.
Philip from Ormond Beach, Florida.
Oh, okay.
I lead a small group, grief share group on Wednesdays.
I'm Sue Martin from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm Caroline Gill from Barbados.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome, all of you. And as I told you, that my name is Ephraim Tumusiime. About 3 years ago, I lost my wife, my first wife. And those of you who have been with Dove, you know how we had been together, coming for these conferences over years, because I first joined Dove from Kenya in 1991. That's when I joined Dove, and I was a student in Daystar University, training to be a minister. And we were married in 1975. So you can calculate, she died in 2021. She died of COVID. We have got, we had five children, but we had lost one years back. And we had suffered together. And this time she got COVID and she did not survive. She was taken to the hospital. She never came back home. It was a very difficult situation because we had become real one. We were a model of all the pastors in our neighborhood of different denominations. At one time, we were the leaders of the married couples in the Fellowship of Pastors. Because people respected us, they respected our marriage, and they knew that we were doing well. All our relatives on her side and on my side, they respected us so well, because having been married for 46 years, people knew that we were indeed different. So I had got COVID in the year 2020, in fact, 2020 Christmas. I did not go to church around that time because I was under quarantine because of COVID. I survived it very well because God blessed us with a big house. I was able to stay in the sick room, and she and others were on a different part of the house. But when she got it, hers was a different strain, and it needed hospitalization. And she became worse and worse and worse. And she went to be with the Lord. I'll tell you that I had never had such an experience. Even when I had lost my parents, even when I had lost one of our sons, when I was already minister in Dove here, that experience when I lost my first wife, it was very, very difficult for me. I'll tell you that this Bible we read, this Bible we preach, when I lost her, the Bible became very meaningless. The scriptures I had always cited in helping other people did not mean much to me. I had lost a very big part of me. And I was wondering whether God was in this, or I started blaming myself as to whether I did enough to help her get the kind of treatment that she should have got and survive. But I realized that we had done our best. We had spent a lot of money. We had eventually ended in the best government hospital under the best doctors, but she left us. And so I could not eat. I could not sleep. For days, I would go to bed, and I could keep seeing her, seeing the plans that we had together. It appeared as if we had reached where we were supposed to be, nearing retirement. We had planned together the many things God had done them, but now I was asking God, how come that at this moment, Jehovah should be leaving me now? I did not want to, in fact, at one time, I did not want even to be with people. I just wanted to be alone and cry in the bedroom and alone. It was hard. For the first few weeks, it was very, very hard. I was grieving. I tried to read some books. I tried to read on YouTube, various writings and listening to different teachers. All those things were not helping me. But somehow, after a number of weeks, somehow I came to my senses. I realized that God had preserved me for a reason. And that's why I returned to the normal life. I started eating and drinking and planning to do the things that I had planned to do in the past. And so, when Ibrahim Omondi, Larry Kreider, and Maud Schenk met me last year at the Dove Africa Conference, they said, "You are healed, you man. You so fast. You are just different. You are looking normal." And I believed them, and so. I think about 2 months ago, Ma wrote to me a letter saying, because they believe I have been able to handle the loss of my first wife successfully and seem to have recovered, then they said I should share with some people. And I'm here to share with you how I have been able to overcome the grief, the pain, the hurt, the suffering that I have been subjected to. And I'm going to share with you that among some of those things that have helped me to overcome the grief, of course, has been the marriage of this dear lady. I'll come to that at a later time. So I was asked to look at how to support leaders of church members who are grieving the death of a spouse. What is helpful? What is not helpful? Also, what does redemption look like? And the journey of finding the measure of wholeness in future seasons. Now, I started with definition of terms. I just gave out, I think you give that sister a paper. I gave out this is a kind of outline just to help you follow what I'm trying to say. The laws. I looked at some of these definitions, some of these, I found that the fact, it's loss is the fact or process of losing something or someone, or the experience of losing a loved one. Loss is a polite expression for death of a loved one. Then I also looked for the word grief. It was described as intense sorrow or pain, especially caused by someone's death. And then I looked at redemption, stroke restoration, stroke healing. And I looked at the meaning as accepting the loss of the loved one and returning to living a normal life. B. How should we grieve as Christians? Now, I have some scriptures here, and I'll be very fast because I realize we don't have much time. Some of these you can go home and read about them and see how relevant they are to us here. How should we grieve as Christians? In Romans 5:12, I found that as a believer, surely I didn't have to grieve like those who don't know Christ. I came to my senses, as I said, and realized that God had preserved me for a purpose. I cannot continue grieving because God had kept me alive for a purpose, and I have to make a choice to continue living, other than remaining at home thinking about the loss. I chose to look at the Bible and see how I could continue living the life that God has continued to give me. So in Romans 5:12, I realized that death came into the world through sin. Yes, as Adam and Eve sinned, death followed the sin that was committed by Adam and Eve. And so sin is here, and death also is here. And I realized that every person born of woman has to die. At one time, we all have to die. And once you know that, then the feeling of loss gets lighter. You realize that that was her turn to die, and my turn is coming. And so I realized that all people in all cultures will suffer loss and grief at any one time. It is normal to lose your loved one, and your friends too will at any one time lose their loved ones. No one is exempted from loss and grief. All of us will die at one time. Two. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verses 1 and 4, the writer says that everything has got a time or a season. They can just go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 4 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And verse 4 says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So I realized that grieving for the loss of my first wife was a season. That is a season that came in my life. And seasons come and seasons go. So I could not remain in the season of mourning, a season of weeping. I have to make a choice to overcome that time, that season, and get into another season of laughter, of having hope, of a better time. And so I left that time. Grief is a process which is very intense from the time of learning of the loss of the loved one. Do not suppress grief. It is normal to express your feelings in any way that will give you some relief. If it means weeping, go on and weep. Publicly or privately, go on, weep. It is you paining, not those onlookers. God gave us these emotions for such a time for our good. So when you lose someone and you are grieving and tears come out, don't try to maybe restrain them. Don't allow them to flow. It is part of healing. In fact, God, who knew that each one of us would grieve, gave us that emotion that creates relief from that pressure that you are having in your life of the loss of the dear one. And so, mourn. It's your season to mourn. Number three, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18 says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet's call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, it continues and on and on. In other words, the writer here is Paul. Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians who believed that they were not going to die since they were in Christ, and they were going to wait for the coming. Christ was coming soon. So they were not prepared for such grieving. But Paul was telling them that for sure grieving will come. Loss will come. But we don't have to grieve like the others who don't know Christ. And so even as I was aware of that, I realized that there is hope. We have hope that those of our dear ones who have gone ahead of us, at one time, there is going to be resurrection. And we will all meet with one another up there in the air. And we will be with Jesus, we will be with God forever and ever and ever. So there is hope. It's not, for us Christians, the death of our dear ones does not mark the end of everything. Like the non-believers think. For us, we have hope that they will resurrect. And they resurrect in glory, and we will be there up there praising God forever and ever. So people who grieve in many different ways depending upon each individual and the circumstances around you who lost a dear one. For example, if the deceased was sick for a long time and a lot was done to try and save his or her life and eventually died. If the deceased was very old and even expressed the need to go and be with the Lord, it is easier to let go than for someone who has died in an accident. I'm saying this out of experience. When my mom died in 2018, she was about 95, and she had told us to come and see her because she believed that soon she was going to be going to heaven. And so we went there with my family and yeah, with the children. We went and spent some time with her, just singing, and she was telling us that I want to go. That you are going back to the city, but I'll tell you, you will not see me again alive. Soon I am going. So we prayed with her, and she prayed over us, and we went back to the city where we live. And a few weeks later, in fact, that very day, I was picking visitors from the USA at the airport. They called me. They said, "Mom has gone." And because she had prepared us, the people in the hospital, my brothers and their wives, my cousins and their children, they were all singing in the hospital because they had been prepared. They had known that she was going, and she was telling us that she's ready to go. So we went and buried her, and all of us were singing. We let her go because she was ready and she wanted to go. And we came home and celebrated, and we forgot about her. She's in heaven. But when somebody dies out of an accident, somebody that you have not maybe seen in hospital for long, somebody that you did not expect to die quickly, somebody that had wonderful plans, it's at times very hard to let go that person. And so here we are saying, but us as Christians, well, if that person is a Christian, we will still say, where he has gone, we will meet that person at one time. Number four, in John chapter 11, verse 25, 26. This is about the death of Lazarus. You know how Lazarus died and was a great friend of Jesus, and together with her sisters, Mary and Martha, they lived in Bethany, and how word had reached Jesus with his disciples that he had died, and how Jesus spent extra 4 days doing his work. Until he said, "Let's go," and they went, and they found this fellow had been buried 4 days, probably days ago, and the sister said, "Maybe the body is smelling. He's been in the grave for a number of days." But Jesus gives some teachings there that encourage us, and he says, Jesus tells one of the sisters that he is the resurrection and the life. This was a very unexpected by the sisters. For them, they were believing in the resurrection that is going to come later. We are talking about, Paul is talking about. But Jesus was talking about then who he was. He was the resurrection and the life. They did not know that he was going to give life back to Lazarus. And so he asked, "Where have you put him?" And he called out, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out, and they say he commanded them to untie the body of those burial clothings. And Lazarus walks out alive. Jesus is the giver of life. And those of us who are born again, we can have a lot of faith and contentment that in Christ we have everlasting life. And so when our people leave us, we can continue believing that we would see them at one time, because Jesus is the giver of life. And so I was reading all these scriptures. There are lots of scriptures. I'm trying to summarize, picked out a few, so as to tell you how I was helped. Scriptures and knowing that Jesus is the giver of life. Short of believing in Jesus, it's very difficult to heal. It is very difficult to recover. It is very difficult to get that redemption we are talking about. But the moment you believe that Jesus is the giver of life, then life becomes easier as someone who has lost a dear one. So Jesus is the giver of resurrection and life. Those who believe in him, though they die in the body, they live again. They have eternal life. Of course, we believe that. We have already said in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So those of us who believe, man, though we die, though our people die in the body, this physical body, we believe they will wake up. They have everlasting life. And you and I, we have this life, the everlasting life. So 5, John 10:10. You see, in John 10:10, we read that the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life in all its fullness, or abundantly. So, you know, grief is a psychological stroke emotional wound. Like a physiological wound, grief needs attention. Otherwise, it will make you fail to live the abundant life Jesus has promised us. You know, the devil can use the loss of our dear ones to steal our peace, to steal our comfort, to steal the abundant life Jesus promises us. The devil is a thief. You can start blaming God. You can start questioning God in ways that you are. Maybe the devil can start saying, "If you were a servant of God, why did he take away your loved one?" And you can build a case there against God and turn away from him. And I think some people have done that. Somebody, a pastor friend of ours, was telling us a story of a woman, an old woman who had one child, one little boy. And she was a widow. And this boy fell sick and died. And this woman was cursing, saying, "There is no God. You people, you deceive us. There is no God," the woman was saying. "How could he be a loving God and know that I have only this boy who lost his dad, and now he has allowed this boy to go away from me?" The woman said she would not go back to church at all. So we have to be very careful here. When we lose our loved ones, we should not allow the devil to use that experience to steal our faith, to steal our peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue rooted in the Word. We must continue knowing that our God is all-knowing. Our God is love. Our God, as I'm going to show you, our God wishes us well. When he allows those people to rest, yes, that's all of us cannot live, all of us will not live up to 120, up to 100. Every one of us, life is a journey. Every one of us has a time he will or she will have to live in this world. Others will stay longer, others will stay for a short time. Others will be extremely old. I see some extremely old people in our country who are helpless, very old. And some even have reached the extent of saying, "God forgot forgot about me. Why should I be still alive? And yet these young people who need to be doing many things as are dying. Why? Big question. But God is all-knowing. God knows better. We cannot advise him. God is just. And so, in all things, we have to give thanks. We have to thank God. Thank God for... When I was telling my wife here that after we had buried my first wife, the church which I pastored for about 23 years, because they knew that we had a culture of giving thanks to God every November of the year. There's a Sunday that we devote to Thanksgiving in that church for many years. And now when I handed it over to the young couple, they still call me every year on that Sunday to preach about Thanksgiving. Now, within me I was saying, how do I go and preach about Thanksgiving? And it's only a few months ago. I think they were buried like, they were about 3 months ago. I had buried my first wife. But there I was. There I was telling people, praise the Lord. And reading the Bible, reading the scripture, which gives, where Paul says, give thanks in all situations because it's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord. And people were looking at me. I was smiling. But that was part of healing, of my healing. The fact that I could thank God, the fact that I could stand up for Jesus, the fact that I could go out and tell people that Jesus is still in control, that God is still the same God. The Bible says, in fact, the Bible quotes God saying, I am God, I change not. Our God does not change. It's us who change when faced with grief. We change. And we think God has changed. No! God is still the same. He's still God. He's still a loving God. He still loves you. You who is still alive, he still loves you. Even that one who rested, he loved that person and allowed that person to rest. That person, we always say, that person had finished his or her work. Now, for us, we are not yet done. We still have work here. Amina, amen. We still have work. Yeah, we still have work. I still have work. And so what I was telling Jesus after the funeral and all that, I was saying, now, I think you have kept me here for some work I don't know that you want me to do. Now, I'm going to show you some of the scriptures that God showed me and encouraged me to continue standing and telling people that God is good. God is still good. God is still on the throne. God still loves his people, including me. Amen. But the devil doesn't want us to believe that. The devil wants us to change our mind and to think that this we are believing lies. Number six, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. Learn to carry each other's burdens. You see, grief will inevitably lead you to fail to, one, control your tears, two, sleep, three, the word there, instead of lose, right there, the word have appetite. Have instead of lose. Have appetite. Four, desire to be with others. Grief may even lead you to desire to end your life. Your pain is real. You are paining. Do not be ashamed of your pain. Trust some people and tell them how you feel. Not all people may understand what you are going through, but let them into your life. And I can tell you my story. When I lost my wife, my first wife, I started opening up to some of the people that had been my prayer partners, those that had been actually my intercessors. I remember one day some ladies, actually wives of some of my pastors near home in Dove, they looked at me at my home. They came visiting, it was a Sunday afternoon, and they looked at me and they said, "Pastor," I said, "Yes." They said, "No, no, no, no. We love you, and we still love your ministry. We want to see you preaching and teaching, but you cannot continue the way you are. You will not last for long. You are going to die." I looked at them, I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "We want you to marry another wife." They said, "This house is so big. This this area where you live is, you can't be there alone and survive." I looked at them, I said, "Well, if that's what you think, then pray with me. Start praying that I may get someone." And that's when I was telling them that, "For sure, you are right. I don't sleep," because I was opening up to them. And I was asking them to, in a way, I was asking them to carry my burden. I was saying, "Continue praying for me. I don't sleep. Even these children cook and I don't eat. During the day, life is better. But when everybody has gone to bed, when there is quietness in the whole community, that's when I start suffering. Because I go to bed, I go to the bedroom, and the bed becomes too big. In the room, I don't like being in that bedroom where I used to live with my wife, my first wife." And I was opening up. And this is what they told me. They said, "We are going to pray that you don't bring us a sister. You are going to bring us a mom. That you should have a mom here in this house, just like the other one was our mom. We need a mom." I said, "Go on and pray." And and these ladies started praying, and they agreed on a certain day when we could go and pray and fast. And we started praying and fasting, and it's a long story, but out of that prayer and fasting, I did not know any woman that, in fact, on the day of the funeral, I told the whole group who were there, of about 300 people, I told them, "I don't know who would qualify to be in the footsteps of Jehovah. I don't know. I don't have an idea. I don't have, because whatever I see here is, I see her hands having worked over all these things." People were all confused. I was confused. But as we started praying and fasting, a certain sister of ours gave me a phone call after about 2 months. And out of that phone call came this girl, or this wife of mine. And she has been a great source of comfort. She has helped me even to hasten recovery. If I had to remain alone, thinking of the loss, the one I lost, whom I used to share everything with, if I was to remain alone, if I had chosen to remain alone, I would probably have died by now of starvation. I would probably have resigned from ministry, but God is so good. This girl came in my life, and she had become a Christian when she was a little girl, and she had not married anybody. God had preserved her for me. She is a high school teacher who has been teaching in one we call that school high-end school. It's a very famous high school in our city where everyone desires her daughter to go. It's a high school for girls only. There are about 1,600 girls in that school who are students there. And God had kept her there. I had never met her, had never known her. But the moment I saw her, as a result of the testimony of my intercessor, I believed that was the girl. And we waited. Lali cried, and and some others from Kenya, some others from Washington, others from Oregon. They came and witnessed our wedding. And that was in the year 2022, August the 20th. Her coming in my life has speeded up the healing, the ability to be able to stand before people to tell them that God is good. Otherwise, life was a misery. And I'm here to tell you that God is so good because he answers prayer. And he answered that prayer by bringing her in, and we are now ministering very well. I am really healed. I am really healed totally, I can say, because I sleep like a baby. I eat quite okay. I eat quite well. She's able to buy me all the types of clothing. She's far younger than I. You can see the smaller shirts. The smaller shirts. She wants me to be like her, youthful, and all that kind of thing. Even the watch. Let me stop there. But I'm saying that this healing is out of choice. I chose to be healed. I chose to be redeemed from the loss. I chose to be able to stand on my feet again. I chose to be able to live a life that I used to live in the past. And I do believe that I'm living even a better life than ever before. So number 7, John 11:35, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Okay. So Jesus understands, Jesus wept, Jesus understands grief, Jesus understands pain, Jesus understands that we need not to be tied up in the past, but to be able to live a life that he has prepared for us. There are so many scriptures, but since I have given them to you on paper, I'm not going to read through everything. There are these other scriptures, and indeed, if there is any question, I'm willing to take it. Yes. Yes.
One of the points you made here was not rushing it.
Yes.
But then also not like wallowing in it, but allowing yourself to grieve.
Yes.
You have these moments, like at this conference, I had these moments when I started crying because I remember him or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think that when you talked about
Yes.
To come forward, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but you know, it's just knowing, walking through that, and people don't necessarily understand.
That's right.
It could take a little bit longer when you don't have this lovely woman in your life to help you, or whomever, you know, it could take a little bit longer to walk through.
Right. Yeah. Well, probably, yes, it can. But as I mentioned, you need to look for some people that you trust, or somebody you trust, and you talk to that person that I am still grieving, that I'm still feeling bad about the loss of my dad. and that person can lay hands upon you and pray, and certainly in the course of time, things would be better.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's just the triggers that we bring.
Yes.
There's certain triggers.
That's right.
You know how to deal with those emotions.
Yes. So
if you get a birth, then you're like, okay, I'm okay, but you just get, like, you know, dealing with the triggers.
Right. But I'll tell you that you shouldn't be worried about that.
Yeah.
That shouldn't disturb you. Once it triggers emotion of get weeping or getting tears,
yeah,
allow them to flow.
Yeah.
It's part of the healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the healing. Just allow it. Go someplace,
yeah,
away from others,
yeah,
and yes, you'll be all right.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Said pain, grief, loss is part of our journey to our destiny.
Yes.
So there is no human that will evade that. So,
yeah.
Sorry. There's no human being that will evade that. So, but the depth of the grief depends sometimes on what you're being prepared for.
Yes.
It's like a calling. If you want to become a doctor, you take longer.
Yes.
Being prepared, it is tougher.
Yes.
So the depth of the grief, the pain, sometimes depends on the calling that the Lord has on your life and is preparing you.
Yes.
The other thing that we talked about was, if the Lord would use you greatly, he will wound you deeply. We see that from scripture, how guys like Moses, they had to go through the wilderness for many years. It wasn't 1 year, it wasn't 2 years, but because of the weight of the ministry that was upon Moses, the calling that was upon Moses, he had to go through the wilderness. And this, the grief, the loss, many times they're like wilderness experiences. And God is not surprised by them, because before you're formed, he knew. Before he popped out of his mother's womb, God knew that he would get married at the same time, live for 46 years, and then go through loss. So he's not surprised. So before it happens, he has provided a solution for you to be able to go through the loss. But Jesus is a best companion.
Sometimes you see that the two persons of the couple grieve in a totally different way. The one wants to talk, and the other one wants to be alone. In nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they and it's very difficult to come close, and they lose. They lose each other actually.
Mm-hmm.
In this process.
Yeah.
Some couples, the relationship becomes stronger.
Yeah.
They find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very difficult how you see people losing each other, and it's almost it's very difficult to come alongside.
Yeah. Right.
The pain is so.
Right.
It's so deep. So can you say something about it? How you work with this?
Part of my presentation is how to support leaders or church members who are grieving the death of someone. I proposed that, and I am proposing that our churches should prepare people for grief. The many years I have spent in church as a minister, and even before I became a minister, you don't hear anybody preaching or teaching about loss and grief. We only hear things like those on funerals. And many times during that time, we don't listen so much. We are just there. We are suffering the loss. But I propose that pastors should start preaching and teaching about loss and grief. When everybody is relaxed, to be able to take in and therefore prepare for that eventuality. Because all of us, as I said before, all of us will lose someone at any one time. So we need, as pastors, as leaders, to prepare our people for such a thing, so that kind of separation doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And not only that, but also we need, as pastors, to get maybe to train a few people within the church so that they can handle the counseling, not the pastor alone. We should train a few people to be able to handle such incidences. They should be able to visit, they should be able to counsel such people who have lost their ones. And I believe that if in your church you would start preparing people like that, that kind of separation may not happen. Because you would tell them that, you'd warn them that let that loss not divide you. Because as I said at the beginning, all of us will respond to the loss differently. But if we are prepared, then it might not lead us into such a situation if we are prepared as a congregation, as believers. And I think even in our church, we don't have that. But this preparation for this presentation has enabled me to have my eyes opened, that I need to teach our pastors this stuff so they can prepare their congregations for the loss. Thank you.
I think also there's the sudden, I think the loss loss is loss. Like if grandmother dies, whatever, but then your situation where there's sudden loss, there's tragic loss, whereas a child or a parent who suddenly dies.
Right. Yeah, it's different.
Loss,
yes.
I think what I've learned is teaching people that they how to walk through the grieving process and the different stages, and allowing yourself to grieve. Because if you actually don't allow yourself to grieve, then 2 or 5 years later down the road,
mm-hmm.
find yourself in this place where all these different emotions.
Exactly.
And so that's one of the things I learned about it. Like during COVID, I was able to, when we were in lockdown, I was actually able to grieve because nothing else to do. And you could actually, I actually found myself grieving a lot then, so that I didn't grieve as much now. But then you just like having to learn the triggers, things that trigger different things, grief at this point. But I really believe that you have to allow yourself to grieve at the time when it happens, allow the tears to flow or harm whatever you're doing. That's one important thing to teach, because if you let that go 5 years down the road, then you have all sorts of dynamics having midlife crisis, this and
that. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know why.
Yeah.
Because you actually haven't allowed yourself to grieve at the time when you.
Exactly.
You needed to grieve, especially with tragic losses.
Indeed.
With COVID left a lot of know, mm-hmm. I lost an aunt as well, but tragic things happened during COVID. So the church is in a place where should be doing a lot of counseling now for people who lost their lives during
right.
COVID, young people, you know?
Right. So,
I have a couple verses. So, two-part question. You have the child that died, right? So, there's two Bible verses for that. It's 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Luke 23:43. And they talk on, young children and babies, when they die, they go to the Lord immediately.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you had the other part of the question was you had the couple grieving in different ways, not understanding each other,
yeah.
and then wanting to separate.
It ended up as
a separation.
At the end, I mean, it was not the intention.
Not the intention.
Right. See, it was a long
oh.
grief, and in that grief, they lost each other. I've seen that a few
yeah.
times.
So,
mm-hmm.
As someone that, you know, if you're looking to give somebody like that advice, I mean, the way I would approach it, I would say don't try to look at it to where you can tell them what to do, but ask questions. If you're asking questions and you're making them think, it's safer than trying to give them advice. Because
right.
if it's not the right advice for them, then they're going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
turn you into the enemy.
Right.
So, ask questions, make them think about it, and then if you want to turn the situation around, you know, I would think in some situation, it might not be their situation, but in some situations, it's. I think it would be easier for the couple just to say, you know what, I don't want to remember this experience, so I'm going to leave this person behind because they're part of the trigger. That makes me sad. It's easier for me to leave them behind and find somebody else that's not going to remind me of the child. But you could turn that around and say, well, that person has gone through what you've gone through. They're more likely to give you empathy you need to, you know, recover, you know, rather than running away from your problem. And that might be a strategy.
Yeah.
Not these strategies, but it might be a
yeah.
strategy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we...
Also relying on the word, like teaching the couple, the people to rely on the word of God.
Exactly. Right.
More, right, it says in Matthew, so that you're having to teach your congregation or teach when you go in counseling, teaching them to rely on God
yes.
At that time individually.
Exactly.
Because they have to do that to strengthen themselves, especially when they can't be there for each other.
Right.
So that's where I guess the word of God comes in.
Indeed. Yeah, when I lost my first wife, people like Pastor Ibrahim Omondi and his wife and Hezbon or Dindo and his wife, they chose to come and visit me and stayed with me for days, praying with me and reading scriptures. It helped me quite a lot. And so this is why we are saying that the church needs to be prepared to do visitation, not the pastor or the eldership team only, but some other members of the congregation should be involved in all this because we can be overstretched
yeah.
as leaders.
Yeah.
But when we train others, they can help us in meeting such needs. And also, one other thing I realized since the loss, and I have talked with other people too, is some of the members of the congregation may find it difficult to talk to the one who is grieving. They try to avoid that person. And I have realized that it's not because they hate that person, but they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying we need to train our people. Yeah, yeah.
Say the wrong thing.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Sometimes they want to know, have I said the right thing?
Exactly.
But I know, I guess the
Mm-hmm.
That comforted me, but I said to someone, I don't know, people who don't have God, who don't have God, or, you know, don't know how do you process it, but the comfort is that, well, the person is with the Lord, but when you're in that moment of grieving, telling someone, oh, they're with the Lord, might not necessarily be the right thing to say. They might appreciate that 6 months from now, but in that moment, they're not gonna appreciate saying, you know, he's with the Lord, they're with God, you know, because a 5-month-old baby or a five-year-old child, they are with God, and you want to feel comforted by that. But the truth is, you're not at that moment, you know, and so it's like, how do you deal with those little intricacies?
It's a long journey.
Yeah. It gives you a hope, though.
It gives you a hope for
time.
Sure. And then time also, but it's still a loss. I knew when Ron passed that I knew where he was, but
yes.
It's still you miss, and you have to learn how to live without that person.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's a totally different when you're so used to being together.
Together. Yeah.
And when you said, you know, that it's been a while since your dad died, you know, it still comes on me. And Ron's gone 5 years. It ebbs and flows. And sometimes out of the blue, I just start weeping.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's healing.
I know.
But I don't stay in there. I just keep trying to stay active.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and,
yes.
And you know, and of course, rely on God. God's been.
Yeah.
It's so good to
and I just want to say too, it's the loss sometimes when you have tragic losses, children or spouses, it's also the, like for my dad, it was me not being married, it was the loss of the dream, oh my gosh, he's not going to walk me down the aisle, or, so I haven't had these
loss of dreams
I haven't had
yeah.
these experiences
mm-hmm.
with him
mm-hmm.
that I would have wanted to have,
right?
And so I think also when you're counseling someone in those types of tragic losses, you have to be able to deal with the loss of dreams
mm-hmm.
at that point in time. It's different
right.
when someone's 90 years old or whatever. You know what I mean? It's different,
yeah.
but when you're like dealing with young people, you then have to then think about, okay, you know, how do I process? Because it's almost like a redirection. So God, my life has taken a totally different path
mm-hmm.
because of this loss, and how do, you know, God, you know, what do you have for me? And then you have to walk through that grieving process to then get to the other side where you can see, you know, a light or a brighter future,
right.
essentially.
Right.
I wanted to really agree with you when you were talking about how it ebbs and flows over the years.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was killed in a mountain climbing accident in an avalanche 30 years ago. There is still grief. There are days when there is still grief.
Uh-huh.
There are days when I remember how close we were,
yeah.
when I remember how much I loved him, when I remember how much fun we had, all of those
yeah.
things. And you spend a little bit of time just kind of crying, but I can thank God for the time that we did have
Amen.
And how wonderful it was. And
mm-hmm.
there is hope,
yes.
but it's not something that just
goes away
and it's
it
gone.
Does not. No.
Yeah.
It's a very time, it over time, and it can come in waves, and it can surprise you when you go, wait a minute,
yeah,
what is that? Why is that back? I thought that was all gone. So,
Abraham prayed for me last night, and he reminded me of my dad this morning. I was like, oh, I saw him, and he reminded me of my dad. The tears start, and you know, but it's just these little ebbs and the flows. So
right.
it's kind of walking through that.
Right. Thank you so much. Let's pray. This is the end.
Yes.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for this time that we have spent together, learning from your word about loss and grief. And redemption. Father, we thank you for the love you have for each one of us, that even when we are grieving, you still love us.
Yes.
Even when we are recovering, you are the one who is able to help us to recover and come back to living a normal life. So we pray for each one of us that has gone through loss, and as we hear others are still recovering, Father, we pray that you will enable us to live that abundant life that Jesus talks about as we serve you and your people, knowing that you understand grief. You, Jesus, lived here on earth and saw how people were dying, and you grieved with the sisters of Lazarus. And so we look to you for hope, because you are the only one who can understand us. Human beings may not understand us. Human beings may not be present when we need help, but you will always be present, because you said that, "Lo, I'm with you even until the end of this age." Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us healing. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.